Good morning, everyone. Welcome. We're studying through 2 Corinthians, Paul's letter to the Corinthians this morning. And so I don't know about you, but I mean, Neil alluded to this morning, but I feel like we're in a crazy time right now, right? Anybody on social media this morning, right, already overwhelmed in your day by all the things going on, all the controversy, all the challenging, all the things that are really important and meaningful that we're right in the midst of, whether it's discussion about equality or race or any number of things, right, that you can get into that we can be passionate about and people are posting. And then there's even this kind of sense of like, oh, I need to be engaged in this. I need to be engaged in everything that's here. And then I'm engaging by writing a comment, but my comment's one of 1,000 comments, and so does that make an impact? And there's just so much to be done. And then outside of all the things that I need to engage in, I want to engage in, I'm being pulled to engage in, it feels so desperate and hopeless, and I need to do something in the midst of that. I have stuff going on in my own life too, right? I know for me this morning, someone I care very much about is having a procedure done in the hospital this morning. I wish I was there, right? But then I'm present there, I'm present here, but then I have this global thing going on that really matters, right? A million global things going on that really matter, right? So if you're there, like I'm there, I'm going to ask that we just pray and kind of calm our hearts before the Lord this morning. We're going to talk, and I think the things we're talking about are relevant to that. I think that's where I want to go today, and not in a way that I really think each one of you guys this morning, this is what I want you to hear, that everyone here can have a profound, profound impact on the things that are valuable, important to this world, and need to now more than ever, I feel like, right? Now, as much as any time in history, we need to engage in profound ways. And we're going to talk some about that simple terms, I suppose, this morning. But let me pray for us. But I ask that when I pray, you pray with me. And I'm even going to pause for a little bit when I'm praying. And just for you to say, Lord, speak to me this morning. You know, help my heart calm and know how to engage with the world around me, okay? And then I'll finish this in prayer. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for today. It really is a profound privilege that we can gather, freely, that we can gather in your name. Lord, it's a profound privilege, all the blessings and the gifts that we have to be in here in a warm place with chairs and sound systems and all these things in an institution where we're getting education. There's so many things that we come to this moment blessed by. And so we thank you for that blessing. Lord, my heart needs to know your peace this morning and calm this morning. I need to simplify right now, even in my thinking and my conversation this morning, and hear from you. And I pray that that be true of each of us. I am convinced that your spirit is actively at work in each one of our lives and unique and individualistic ways, and that's true this morning, and so I trust you for that this morning. And I want to invite you in to my life and invite you into the space to work this morning in our lives. And even now, as I pause, pray that you hear our hearts as we ask you to meet us here. Lord, guide us in our time. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, as I said, we're back in 2 Corinthians. And I'm just really going to stay within the context of a couple verses. And honestly, part of the reason I'm doing that is because the larger section, really, that I'm working out of, it's kind of characteristic of Paul, and some of the language is challenging and confusing in terms of how you got to get into it. And so really, I want to stay in these verses, and I'm going to give you some outside context as we work through that, but for the sake of our time this morning, I really want to hone in on these couple verses that we're going to talk about. And so they're going to be on the screen here. And I want you to do this before we even start reading, because we have a verse that we're memorizing each week that we pull out of our section. The one I'm going to work out of is going to be that verse. And so go ahead and pull out. Do we have 3x5 cards and pens and stuff? Pull that out, because I'm going to say it multiple times here in just a second. Now's a good time for you to write it down and think on it. And I'll say the version I'm reading. I kind of hybrid two different versions to kind of emphasize a couple things here. But I want you to write it down now. We're going to meditate on it now, and then I'm going to work out of that, okay? So it's not this one, so don't start writing yet. It's going to be the next verse. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Verse 18 is the one we're going to write down and meditate on. And I'm going to repeat it several times, emphasizing different words. This is just a good way to meditate and a good way to memorize. And so while you're writing, I'm going to just say it over and over. But we all, with unveiled faces, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. We are being transformed. We're being transformed. We are being transformed into the same image, into the same image, into the same image, with ever increasing glory, with ever increasing glory, just as from the Lord, just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I'm going to give you a few more seconds to write that down. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image with ever-increasing glory, just as from the Lord. Okay, we'll just leave this up here, and I'm going to talk through some of this. But we, with unveiled face, unveiled, this word here is relevant to you if you read it along, and I hope you're reading along with us on your own time, but all the verses before this has this play, unveiled, 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 and it's really going back to the conversation that Paul is having with the Corinthians about Moses and these folks who swept in behind him during his journey there, and they're emphasized as the law of Moses, the old covenant, those kinds of words fit in there, right? So the Mosaic covenant is what they're talking about. They're talking about the law. And the backdrop is essentially an Exodus. Remember when they come out of Exodus and all the people, when they're coming out of Egypt during Exodus, they come through and they're out in Sinai and they go up on Mount Sinai. And God meets them, and God essentially makes this covenant with them and says, you know, I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. And they're like, yes, you're our God. We're your people. Even though they've been grumbling the whole time, but like, okay, we get it. You let us out. And they agree to this. And so Moses goes up on the mountain, and God gives him the law, right, and brings it back down. And even before Moses comes back down, they've already broken the law, right? And so they're already struggling in this space. But Moses goes and meets with God and comes back down. And as he does this and continues to have this relationship, he comes down and he's glowing. He has the glory of the Lord is on him. So this word glory is also related to this. But there's this glory that is seen in the person of Moses when he comes down to the people of Israel. And they don't want to look upon him. They don't want to see him. They don't want to be in his presence. There's a fear. There's a something. Like, you're meeting with the one true God that we cannot even peer upon, and you're reflecting it in such a way that we're hiding from you. We don't want to look at you. And so Moses puts a veil on, and when he meets with the people, he's wearing a veil, and then when he meets with God, he takes it off, and he's continually, like, receiving this glory of God, and then he's walking back to these people, and he's continually veiling it. So he's being transformed in a way, physically being transformed in some sort of way that the people recognize it, know it, uncomfortable with it, and they're kind of shielded from it, and he becomes this mediator in between them, okay? between the people and God in the process. So that's the unveiled. It says, again, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So beholding as in the mirror, or yours might say, your translation might say contemplating, contemplating the glory of God, or the glory of the Lord, right? So this word glory, let's talk about that for a minute. The glory simply means the weight or the worth of something, right? The weight or the worth of something. So they're beholding as in a mirror the weight of God or the worthiness of the Lord, right, is what Paul's talking about. Beholding is in this mirror, so as in a reflection, like we're looking into something and we're looking back and it's looking back at us and we're seeing it and we're contemplating this glory of the Lord is what Paul's talking about. Now, again, some of the conversation with Paul and the Corinthians is like, why aren't you talking about Moses? Why aren't you preaching Moses? Why isn't it about Moses? And in this context of this, he's saying to them, listen, if Moses came down, right? If Moses came down and there's glory with this Old Testament law that he's giving that's written in stone, if there's glory in stone and it's reflecting, how much more glory is there going to be with this spiritual covenant being made where the God places a spirit in our life and the law in our heart and we're living out of this person? We know the person out, the person of Jesus. And he's saying, how much more glory is there? So if there's glory with the stones and Moses, how much more with the Messiah and Jesus and the Spirit of God, right? So that's kind of the contrast. But Paul, there's this interesting thing here because they're almost saying, why don't you tone it down with this stuff? And Paul's trying to get at this point within this letter and with this section of the letter of like, listen, these people shielded themselves from God's glory. We're not going to shield ourselves from God's glory, right? He put a veil on our face. We're not going to fail. We're going to, like, it's burning inside of us in a way that we're going to let this glory shine, let this light shine. We're going to represent the image of God in this way. And so that conversation is happening as he's kind of contemplating through this in terms of the looking in this mirror, seeing the image, reflecting the glory of God. And so, unlike Moses, and he's saying, I'm not comparing me to Moses, saying I'm comparing Jesus to Moses, and I'm just reflecting Jesus, right? And he's saying, and we're not going to unveil ourselves. We can't help to veil ourselves. We can't veil ourselves in this because it is going to come out. So it says, so here's the thing, and we're going to get clearer as we go, right? But this next section there is, so as we're looking at the glory, contemplating in the mirror the glory of God, we are being transformed into the same image. We are being transformed in the same image. So the more we're looking at the glory, we're, you know, like Moses is being transformed in some different way, but we're looking, we're contemplating on the person Jesus, his worthiness, his glory, his worthiness. And as we do that, we're being transformed, and we're being transformed in ways that are like him, right? And he is like God, right? He is the exact image, the representation, the scripture tells us, of God the Father. And so as we look at him, we're becoming like him. We're becoming more like God. But this image bearer, right? We're becoming like his image. Don't let that word image get lost on us here. You guys remember in the creation story, we were made in his image, right? He made all kinds of things. God made all kinds of things, but he made us in his image. So we were already image bearers, right? But there's this creation piece, and then there's this fall, right? And we're in this brokenness of the fall. In this process, right? But now there's a redemption that's taking place. And this redemption in Christ, what Paul's saying is now we know Christ, we're looking at the face of Christ, we have such a greater understanding of who God is through the person of Jesus Christ, right? In a way that Moses didn't even, you know, fully understand coming down, that they didn't want to even look upon him. But we're looking at Jesus and we understand God more fully than the law, right? More completely than the law, right? Because we have a person that came to planet Earth that lived out the personification of the law and fulfilled the law, right? So in Galatians, Paul says this. He says this law, it's not that the law was a bad thing. The law was a good thing, right? So the law came down and Moses said, here's all the things. Do this, don't do this. You shall do this, you shall not do this, right? And he frames it up. The law, that's good. But Paul says that the law was good in that it led us to justification in faith, It led us to justification in the faith. So if we think we're going to live by the law and do all the right things and be right with God, then we're missing it. But if we're looking at that and saying, wow, in the midst of the law, in the midst of knowing that, you know, do not murder, you know, live up to this expectation, do not sin, do not commit adultery in my heart, do not, you know, whatever, just all these things, then I am guilty, right? I'm convicted, right? In that sense. So now, in my conviction, what do I do with that? Do I seek justification through faith? Oh, by God alone, I need, right? And then the Old Testament points us to the Messiah, the coming Messiah. The New Testament, Paul's saying, we know the Messiah. It's in Jesus. All this is being leading us to understand that it's fulfilled in Jesus, right? But if you're there and say, oh man, this is the only way I can live up. I got to keep doing works, and try it right here. We're missing it, right? So Paul's saying to these people, like, listen, you can keep saying Moses, you keep saying the law, you keep saying these things, but the reality is all of it's fulfilled in the person of Jesus. And we're not going to veil ourselves to that. We're going to embrace that, and we're going to look at Jesus, and we're going to be, you know, and what Jesus has done, you know, in one sense, if you think of it like this, maybe this is a poor analogy, I don't want to get us off track, but if you're in a cave crawling through in the darkness, right, and you're like, I don't know where I'm, and someone gives you a headlamp, all of a sudden it lights up and you're looking away, and that headlamp is better than an instruction book on how to get out of there, right? I can see the pitfalls, I see where I'm going, I see what I'm supposed to do and not supposed to do. But when you come out of that cave and it's the bright of the day and you're walking in, you're with your buddies and you go to the car and you're putting your stuff away and your buddy looks at you like, oh, hey, do you know your headlamp's on? No, I didn't even see it. The headlamp became completely irrelevant in the glory of the bright of the day with the sun, right? You didn't even know it was there. It wasn't that it was irrelevant. It wasn't valuable anymore. It wasn't a good tool, but it was a tool that brought you to a place where you're in the light of the day and the real light consumes the headlamp, right? So that's what I'm just saying. This law thing, that was good. It's important. It's valuable. It's our foundation. But when we know Jesus in the face of Jesus, it consumes all of that because it fulfills it and more. We understand, we contemplate in a whole new way, and we look at it, and we're embracing it, and we're not going to shield ourselves, and we're not going to let anyone shield us from it. We're going to look at Jesus' face, we're going to understand him, we're going to know him, and when we do that, it transforms us in ways that we cannot deny, and people see it. And we want you to see it, right? Okay, and it's doing this. Well, let me stay on the image bearers, right? I went down that path. Let me talk about this. The image bearer, in the God made us in his image. I think this is an important piece along the way, because why does this matter in the grand scale of things where we're going to in my conversation right now is this. Old Testament, you know, well, not just Old Testament, even today, kings do what? They conquer kingdoms, and when they conquer kingdoms, they set you out there, and they put what image? They put their image. Then this is my land. Here's a statue in my name. Here's a billboard in my name. This is my image. I conquered this. It's about me, right? God made humanity in a way that says, here, here's the earth. Multiply, subdue it, own it, develop it, right? And here are my image bearers. Everywhere you go in my name, everywhere you do this, we're going to bear my image. You will know, wow. It's God's kingdom. God's a good God, right? But there's this false of brokenness, all that stuff that we talk about, right? But now it's being restored, right? There's creation, fall, redemption, and there's restoration. And Paul's saying we're actively engaged right now in this process, in our journey of restoration in Christ. The Redeemer's here. He's restoring us. And the more we contemplate him, the more we look at him, the more we drink him in, we are increasingly being made into his image. You're already image bearers, but you're increasingly reflecting. Jesus was the exact representation of Christ, right? And now we're looking at Jesus, and he said, now I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm becoming more and more of a representation of his kingdom. All right. Ever-increasing glory, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit. Just as from the Lord who is the Spirit. The verse right before the 17, can we go back to it real quick? Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. Okay? Now we can go back to this one. Who is the Spirit? So, I want to call us to this, right? There's this sense of like, oh, I'm saying, gosh, we need to contemplate Jesus and be more like Jesus. And your mind might go, oh, that sounds so restricting. Again, putting ourselves under this law. Like, oh, that feels like law. That feels like legal. That doesn't sound very exciting. But what this is saying, with the Spirit of God, there is freedom. There's something about gazing upon Jesus, knowing Jesus, contemplating Jesus, wrestling with Jesus, you know, that whole thing of letting him saturate our life, that it actually creates freedom. It actually lets all that melt away. You're no longer, you know, under this law and restricted, but you're fulfilling a law in the sense of you're not saying, what can I not do? And you're saying, wow, if that's the parameter of what not to do, now I can live into what God is calling me to live into, what I can do. And all of these insecurities, am I doing it right? Have I failed? Am I ashamed? Am I broken? Did I do this? Oh, you know, right? When someone shared the gospel with me, that's what it was. I needed to be under the law a little bit so I can contemplate my need for Christ so that then I can move towards what he might call me to. And it's been years of process, and it's going to be years of process. And one day I'll be fulfilled, and I'll see him face to face, not dimly as in a mirror, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, but face to face, right? And so when I first, someone shared the gospel to me, it was very simple, right? Like, hey man, you know how you're drinking all the time and how you're in that relationship with that girl that's super impure? Like, those things are sin and you need to repent. Oh wow, I didn't know, like, tell me more about this, right? I convicted, I repent, I'm a sinner, I need saved, I need grace, right? It didn't take long for me to realize, oh wow, there's a whole bunch of other things in my life that are in that category too. In fact, I'm completely self-centered, always running to those things all the time, right? But the more I contemplate, the more I spend time with Christ, the more I let the Spirit enter into my life and manifest himself in my life, the more I start thinking, okay, it's not just about not doing these things. It's about, what has God breathed into me? What has he called me to do? What kind of person am I supposed to be? How do I manifest his Spirit? How am I uniquely made to glorify him and be an image bearer and say, this part of the kingdom right here on earth is God's, and I'm going to bear that image and make that as clear as humanly possible, right? As broken as I am and as incomplete as I am and I falter and all those things, I get it. But even when I fall and falter and have to repent and ask for forgiveness, that is bearing the image of God, because what I'm saying is my God is the kind of God that forgives people and loves people and cares for people and redeems people and restores people, picks people back up and says, that's okay, I love you, let's keep moving in that direction, right? So I'm still bearing his image in that respect. All right. So let's keep moving here. I want to transition here and just give you a few examples and then bring this into the here and now. So if that's the backdrop and that's what we're talking about, so what's it really look like? Like a real example of what the contrast of that might be. And maybe this is a silly example or extreme example or whatever, but I think it's a simple, realistic example that we can grab hold of and say, yeah, that's kind of, that'd be a game changer in a lot of ways, right? Because again, when I look at this whole big global thing that's going on and I'm trying to wrestle with how do I make an impact in profound ways that change the world in all these different ways, it's overwhelming. But the reality is, I think based on what we just talked about, is I'm not being called to do that in all of those kinds of ways. What I'm being called to do is be an image bearer right here. Like, how can I make an impact with what's before me and how, you know, where I'm at, right? So this example always comes to my mind anytime I think about this. A few years ago in the newspaper, there's these guys, and they're like college age guys, and they got busted for going out in the woods behind this church where they knew a homeless guy was camping out and living, and they made a little bomb out of like a little explosive thing out of a bottle and some, I don't know, flammable stuff, and threw it back there at this guy, and they got busted, right? And they went to jail. And in the thing, they're like, why did you do that? And the guy was like, I was bored. We were bored, right? We're bored. Okay, so let's say, okay, now you know it's illegal. Okay, let's say if that was it. Like, we didn't know that was illegal, right? Or whatever, to like throw bombs at people. So let's say somewhere in the contemplation of making a bomb, driving out there and doing that, that somehow they just didn't know. Or like, yeah, I knew it was, but I was going along with the ride for them, and you know, I didn't want to say, whatever. Somewhere in there, it's like, okay, you knew it was wrong, you're suffering your consequences, maybe you repent, maybe you do something else. So there's one thing that says, that was dumb, you shouldn't have done that, it's wrong, minimally, don't blow up people with bombs that are like just trying to hang out. So that's kind of the law part of it, right? Like that part of it. But the flip side of it is like, okay, if I'm not supposed to do that, then what would be like an alternative? Like, well, I could go out to lunch and do something else. Yeah, sure. But what would be an alternative, like in a way that like, what would the Lord want me to do with that guy out behind the thing, right? The guy living out there. Like, if I'm not supposed to blow him up because I'm bored, what might the Lord's heart be for the man out there, right? So what if it was something different, right? What if me and my two buddies, and by the way, I wasn't the one that blew, you know, through the thing, but what if I was a part of that, and what if we said, you know what, I heard that there's a guy out, and someone's like, you know, like, oh yeah, the guy behind the thing, and the other guy's like, let's go blow him up. And then what if this other guy's like, or, like, what if we didn't blow him up, but what if we did go out there? That part's good. Like, let's go out there. And let's get a bottle and blow him up. No, let's get a bottle, maybe a thermos of coffee or something. Let's grab a thermos of coffee. Oh, that's a better idea. So what if you show up, this guy's out there, and you go, hey, excuse me, because you know that's going to startle. What if I put myself in his shoes? And that's uncomfortable. He's living out here, right? Hey, just coming out here, just want to say hello. Okay, great. Hey, we saw you out here. We thought maybe you'd be interested in having a cup of coffee. We brought a thermos of coffee. And actually, we stopped and picked up these logs, you know, these self-starting logs. I thought we could build a fire out here and just sit and talk, right, and grab a cup of coffee. Okay, I'm skeptical as the homeless guy, right, but I'm coming out. I'm like, okay, interesting. Drinking the coffee, you drink first? Okay, all right. Yeah, okay. All right. And so we're sitting here, and we're enjoying one another, and we're talking, and we're getting to know each other, right? But what if that went the next place? What if in knowing him, you found out some things about him, right? Maybe he's a construction worker, something of that nature. And you're learning about his life a little bit. And then you're about to leave, and you're like, you know what? We were about to go out. It's kind of late. It's Friday night. We're going to go hit McDonald's. I don't know if you'd be interested in joining. What if you want to come with us? We'd be happy to bring you back. This guy, you're like, yeah, man, sounds great. A hot meal right now. Get inside. And sure. So you go, and you feed the guy, right? Guy, one, you brought him coffee, you thought of him, you know him, you show him dignity, you've learned about his life, you get him in the car, you get him a meal, right? But what if over that meal somehow you say, you know what, we were thinking, we've been working this week, we'd love to put our, I don't know when the last time you had a hot shower and a bed was, but we'd love, there's a place right down here. He's like, no, I've been to homeless shelters and stuff, and I had a bad experience. That's okay, yeah. Makes sense. But what, I mean, there's a hotel down here. We'd be glad to put you up for the night, right? We'll go in, you put it in your name, you know, we'll just give you the money. You go in and you stay all night. In fact, that same hotel has a breakfast in the morning. So you have a hot breakfast in the morning. What can we say? Yep. Okay. Yeah. I'm skeptical. Okay. Right. Let's say he goes in there and does that and has that meal, right? And then the next morning he wakes up and you come in and you say, you know what? Early in the morning, you say, hey, we got you these clothes and stuff because we thought you might need some clothes. But when you come down for breakfast, you walk in and you say, hey, we want to introduce you to our friend here who works for a hardware store. So he owns a hardware store, right? And that homeless man, okay, so based on your construction background, so we thought you might, he's looking for somebody, you need a job, right? We thought maybe we could connect you with this person. It's a resource we know about somebody. And this guy's like, yeah, I don't know if you're looking, you know, saving face, right? I don't know if you're looking or not, but we do need somebody to work at our store. And you seem like the kind of guy that had the skills based on what this guy. So what if this guy's now coming to work, right? For this guy's like, well, when can you start? He's like, well, I'm pretty busy. I have nothing going on. But, you know, what works for you, right? But how am I going to get there? I don't have a house. Am I going to live out of a tent and walk to work to this guy, right? So, hey, what if you happen to know somebody who just bought an old junky house? That's me. That had an old junky car in the garage, right, that I need to do something with. Hey, maybe he'd be willing to let you drive this car back and forth to work because I know this guy who knows somebody. Right? See what I'm saying? There's like a million things in this process where this one person could be clothed, fed, dignified, right, have a paycheck, get back on his feet, and then what's going to happen later? One, you might have a great friend in this guy, but two, this guy's going to see some other homeless guy walking down the street and say, hey, man, hey, I don't mean to bother you here, but I was going to go grab lunch. I wonder if you want to come with me, right? Oh, hey, by the way, my boss at the hardware store is looking for somebody else. You want to come in, right? What if there's a community of people who thought beyond that and thought proactively, what does it look like for me to take my little area and make it God's space, right? What would that look like? Here's a quote that I love. You might have heard me say quote this before, but this is by Richard Pratt. It says, I'm like just killed myself with the microphone. The great king has summoned each of us into his throne room. Take this portion, he says, take this portion of my kingdom. I'm making you my steward over your office, your workbench, your kitchen stove. Put your heart into mastering this part of my world. Get it in order. Unearth its treasures. Do all you can with it. Then everyone will see what a glorious king I am. That's why we get up in the morning and go to work. We don't labor simply to survive. Insects do that. Our work is an honor and a privilege. And a privilege commission from our great king. God has given each of us a portion of his kingdom to explore and to develop to its fullness. So, kind of coming back to current events, right? There's this idea, there's this thing in my mind of like how much urgency needs to come right now. And it seems like there might be this big drill, like I need to march more, I need to whatever more, I need to protest more, I need to comment more, I need to debate more, I need to argue more, I need to whatever. But there is an urgency. I think it's an urgent, in fact, it's overdue. I don't think we'd be where we are today if the church has risen up and owned some of this stuff in advance, right? Now more than ever, I think we need to own our part of the kingdom and invest in it and steward it and make it our own for the glory of the Lord. Maybe we need to step back a little bit, and I'm saying me to you, but all of us, right? Step back a little bit from the intensity of what's going on and think about, man, if I'm struggling to be right, maybe I need to step back and say, wow, am I righteous in Christ? Do I need to be right? Or how do I need to be right in this? What's it look like for me to engage, right? If I'm trying to say this to be justified, then I am justified. What's the Lord say about that? Maybe I need to step back from that. If I'm feeling hopeless and overwhelmed, maybe say, okay, the Lord promises that we do have hope, and so let me reframe that a little bit, right? Maybe there's something in my hopelessness that I need to wrestle with. Am I afraid? Gosh, God chases out this fear in me, right? And so what's it look like to step back and understand him as my strength and that he is sovereign and he does have a plan? And so how do I step away from that? If I'm feeling insecure, which makes total sense right now that we'd be feeling insecure at some points in our world, right? So what does it mean for him to be my security and for me to rest in that and step back? If I feel myself matching hate with hate and hatefulness with hatefulness, step back and say he's loving. God is love. Love God, love your neighbor. The whole law is fulfilled in this, love, right? So if that's it, how do I think about that? Like reframing and reframing. Maybe for some of us, and I think this is true of me, and I'm not really like I'm not on a bunch of different social media stuff or a bunch of media. I'm not someone who absorbs all that stuff, but I'm on enough to know that I could use a break from all that, right? Because anymore, it's gotten so bad, right, that this week, I think it's this coming week, Ball State's offering a couple classes on how to spot real news and fake news, right? Because it's become so overwhelming that we don't even know what's true anymore or what to trust anymore or what's there. And so we can get so worked up and so overwhelmed and then find out later that it wasn't even real anyway, right? That's the context we're in right now. So maybe we need a break, a sabbatical, take a week off, take a couple weeks off and say, what would it look like for me to think about my context locally, right? And not worry about the noise. So maybe some of us too need to like think about, you know, what is it like to be kind to one another when there's so many causes and not everybody in our circle is as passionate about the same cause that I'm passionate in, right? Because there's so much going on. And I tell you, I struggle with that because I want to be passionate about all the causes you are all passionate about. They're all important to me and I care about all of them, but I just can't. I just don't have time, right? Just in our local community alone, I can think through all kinds of nonprofits that I wish I could be involved in and spend time in, and they're all meaningful. Some have to do with race relations. Some have to do with caring for women. Some have to do with mentoring. There are just so many of them, and I want to be a part of all of them, and I can't. But then add on top of that just normal stuff of my day, but add on top of that all the global things going on that's beckoning our attention. So maybe we just need to stop back and say, hey, listen, I know you're super passionate about that, or here's something I'm passionate about, but I understand if you're not engaging in this in the same way as I am right now, or if you don't understand the issue the same way I do because you haven't had time to think about that, so maybe we can grab lunch and I can talk to you about that, and you can talk to me about what you care about, and we can have this conversation. Maybe we both come out and we learn from it. But the big picture in my mind is the whole idea, think globally for sure. Think globally. We're in a global context right now, right? But act locally. Take something and locally say, this is how I'm going to engage in it. Paul goes on in our kind of the book into the section here in 2 Corinthians 4, 5, and 6. He says, what we preach, he's telling the Corinthians, is not ourselves. This goes back to say, we're not preaching like, they're preaching Moses. We're not preaching Paul. We're not preaching ourselves. We're preaching Christ Jesus as Lord. We're raising him up as the Messiah, as Lord. And ourselves as servants, like your servants, we're serving you for the sake of Christ. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us light, the light of the kingdom of knowledge of God's glory displaying in the face of Jesus Christ. So we have this light. God's graciously given us his spirit. And all we're doing is saying Christ is the king. And we represent him. And we want this light to shine brightly, this glory to be seen. We don't want to veil it. We want it to radiate beyond us. Not because we want to glorify us, but because we want people to see the God that we serve. So as we close here, I want us to think of this based on our passage that you're memorizing, right? Contemplate the worth of Jesus. Contemplate it regularly, often, consistently. Invite him to ever increasingly transform you into his likeness. Invite him to ever increasingly transform you into his likeness. And third, walk in faith in this new freedom, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's freedom. There's freedom. I want you to hear that. God's Spirit brings freedom, not condemnation, not judgment, not obligation, but this reality of I can shift here, and in my newfound this faith that justifies me, I can walk in freedom. And those other stuff can melt away in the glory of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that that we could own this as a church, but not just this local church here, but the church globally, that we would own this concept of being your image bearers, of spending time with our Lord in ways that transform us, that change us, and that there would be as John the Baptist says, less of me, more of you, Lord. And we pray that in Christ's name. Amen.